We have just sung about the one who is in great need, one who is poor and sick and diseased, one who is in great need of healing and deliverance, and that their trust, our trust, comes from the Lord who reigns on high, the King who will rise in might. And here in the Gospel of Mark, as we have been studying, we see that King appear, and we hear his echoes through the ages of what he has done and what we look forward to. And so if you would turn with me to the Gospel of Mark, we will see the great work of this King who has arisen, and it seems not in might in some ways, but in other ways he displays that great might and authority that he has. So we are going to read verses 29 through 39 of Mark chapter 1. If you have one of the provided Bibles, you can find that on page 995. Jesus has spent the morning in the synagogue, and he has gone, and here we see him go into the house of Simon and Andrew. And we will see him deliver from these diseases. So let us now read God's holy word. And immediately, after they came out of the synagogue, they came into the house of Simon and Andrew, with James and John. Now Simon's mother was lying sick with a fever. And immediately they spoke to Jesus about her. And he came to her and raised her up, taking her by the hand, and the fever left her, and she waited on them. When evening came, after the sun had set, they began bringing to him all who were ill, and those who were demon-possessed. And this whole city had gathered at the door, and he healed many who were ill with various diseases, and cast out many demons. And he was not permitting the demons to speak, because they knew who he was. In the early morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went away to a secluded place and was praying there. Simon and his companions searched for him. They found him and said to him, "Everyone is looking for you." He said to them, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also. For that is what I came for." And he went into their synagogues throughout all Galilee, preaching and casting out the demons. So far, reading in God's holy word. Beloved people of God, we have just gone through an election season. An election season where the political leaders went from town to town, making sure to get as much face time as they could with the crowds, to seek to meet all their desires, to proclaim what their party was all about, to shore up as much support as they could so that they could be elected into this next government, that they could be a part of this government and this ruling body. And Jesus here, as the King who comes, is expanding his ministry as he doesn't necessarily shore up support, though. For he doesn't meet the desires of the people. He doesn't obey their whims and their commands. He doesn't seek to speak to them in ways that shores up support. He even goes off and hides from the crowds. In many ways, it's confusing. Even Peter and the disciples, they all think, "Well, Jesus, everyone is looking for you. Let's go back to the city. Let's keep shoring up more support here in Capernaum." Let's go and heal some more people. They'll be followers of you then. Let's go about this in the right way, in the way that seems most logical. However, Jesus says it's time to move on. 24 hours, and all these amazing things have happened, but it's time to move on. Let's keep moving on, for I have other places to preach to. I must get out this message of the kingdom of God and the time being at hand. I must get out this message that you must repent and believe, that you see that the kingdom is near, and respond in repentance and faith. And so here we will see that Jesus' ministry expands, but with that tension. But Jesus' ministry expands over many diseases, toward many people, and into many cities. Those are our three points, that his ministry expands over many diseases toward many people into many cities. And so as we look at verses 29 through 31, we have this quite simple, straightforward story. Jesus has just left the synagogue where he has shown his authority over demons, over this spiritual realm where he has cast out from this man a demon. And now he enters into the home of Simon and Andrew. We see there that Simon's mother-in-law was lying sick with a fever. Mark records it as a high fever. Jesus is told about this illness, this disease, and Jesus comes to her bedside, takes her by the hand, and the fever is gone. Just like that. He touches her. Jesus even has authority over the physical realm, over those physical diseases that affect our work and our service, affect our peace and our rest, affect our flourishing, our fruitfulness, and service of God. And immediately this woman begins to serve them. She gets up and begins to serve the disciples, giving that proper hospitality. Now, this is not said and given to show, well, this is what the woman's role is. The woman must be the one to serve the men and give hospitality. No, the point is that she is able to immediately go about the work. I don't know about you, but when I get a fever, even if I am laying down, maybe even somewhat sleeping, I am sweating, I am having terrible dreams, I am fitful, and by the time my fever finally breaks, I'm actually more exhausted, even though I may have laid around in bed all day. I finally am able to lay down and get some sleep, some rest, some recovery from that disease. But for this mother-in-law of Simon, she is immediately able to serve, to go about the work and serve the one who has saved them, delivered her from this disease. People of God, this ought to be our response. This is how we should react to God's wonderful good news that He has delivered us, that He has delivered us from all our sins, that He will deliver us from all our disease, and we will have rest in Him. But as we see, as we continue on in the story, Jesus' physical healing ministry doesn't end with just fevers. Following the sunset, Jesus heals various diseases. And he shows his authority not over just fevers, but all these physical illnesses. It seems that his authority has no limits. Whatever disease is placed before him, he's healing it. He's doing this miraculous work. And so we begin to get this understanding that Jesus' authority stretches over many things. It is not just over that spiritual realm, but it is also over that physical realm. All those things that disturb our peace and our comfort. And Jesus comes and shows his authority over those effects of sin, even on our bodies. The kingdom of God is at hand. Heaven is reaching down into earth, delivering, giving peace and rest. It is a taste of what heaven will be like without any disease. And Jesus brings that to earth. He shows his authority and his ability to heal all diseases as that great king. But our text also shows that he cares personally for people and also throughout with the many people that he heals. For our text moves from a private, personal miracle in the house of Simon to the public display in the streets where everybody's gathering at the door. Jesus shows his personal care for this woman in his healing. For he comes right to her bedside. Remember last week how I talked about familiarity can often breed us to be bored. We're no longer have that amazement that we should have. But in order to get that amazement back, sometimes we just need to once again sit back. Get that right perspective. Look up at the stars and think, how small I am. How wonderful God's promises are that he is going to bring that many people into his kingdom. That Abraham's descendants are going to be like the stars. That his blessing is going to be poured out on that many people. And I get to be one of those. But also hear that the King of Kings comes to the personal bedside of this woman. That he cares for her. He cares for me. The King of all glory, of all honor, of all righteousness comes to me. As one so undeserving. He is a king who mingles with his people. He doesn't stay upon his throne, but comes down and interacts and helps and saves and works in our lives. But it's not just for her. For the people begin to gather now that the sun has gone down. You may ask, well, why is it that they're waiting for the sun to come down? Well, Jesus has been in the synagogue on the Sabbath day. The rulers and the leaders of the church have been saying, you must not carry a burden on the Sabbath day. You cannot carry a load. And these people who are hurt and diseased would have had to been carried on the back. The religious rulers could only bring condemnation by the law. They would condemn them for bringing people for healing on the Sabbath day. But Jesus, in contrast, shows care, shows deliverance, does not condemn, but he brings healing. And he doesn't limit himself to just one person, but he goes throughout and he heals those many people. And it's not just the ones who are friends of the family, you might say. For if we only saw the personal miracle for Simon's mother-in-law, we might be led to believe, well, you have to get in. You have to be a part of the family. You have to get into the inner circle. You have to achieve this and have that certain sort of status in order to get it. But no, all who were brought, all who came, were healed of their disease. Now Jesus, after a night of healing, goes out to the city, or goes outside the city to this secluded place after he has healed many people. And he arrives or leaves early in the morning. He goes out to this secluded place, hiding from the crowds, so that he might pray to his Father. Prayer is an expression of dependence. So we see here even the King of Kings who looks to the Father and asks for help. Why does he do this? Because he has taken on a human nature like ours. Because he stands in our place and acts as the perfect man. The perfect man who always depended on God. Even in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve depended on God to reveal to them the way that they were to live. He was the one who sustained their very breath, and they should give thanks, look to him for guidance. But instead, they followed after their own will. But here, Jesus looks to his Father. He gives thanks. He looks to him for his leading and guiding and submits to his will. And as he acts for as our representation, our representative, he lives for us a perfect life for even those times when we don't pray, when we are lazy, or forgetful, or proud and self-righteous, as if we don't need to turn to him in prayer. But this truth should not be an excuse not to pray, but to by faith know that God hears us, that our sin does not separate us from him because of Jesus Christ. Because we are in him and we can come to him. And he does hear us as he hears his child. And so it is a reason to pray. We can recognize that we can pray and ought to pray. And what a wonderful privilege it is to pray to him. Yet Jesus here has gone away. He's gone away from the crowds. He's been silencing demons from proclaiming who he is. He doesn't even want the advertisement. And just when the following seems to be getting large, he secludes himself. He hides away. And Simon and his companions come looking for him, confused and wondering, where have you been? The crowds, they're looking for you. Come on, let's go shore up some more support. These people are ready to follow you. These people are looking for you. But Jesus says, no, I must go. I must leave them and go to other places. We read earlier Matthew 12 about this secrecy, where he did not even want the advertisement of those who healed whom he healed. And Matthew finds this as a fulfillment of Isaiah 42, 1 through 4, where Jesus is proclaimed as the servant of God, the servant who will have his spirit, as we've seen in the baptism, where it's where Isaiah 4, 42, 1 through 4 says, "Behold my servant whom I've chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased. I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall proclaim justice to the Gentiles. He will not quarrel, nor cry out, nor will anyone hear his voice in the streets." This is not so much that he does not proclaim the kingdom of God, but that people won't hear his message. But he is not one to quarrel, to fight back. Nor is he one to advertise and cry out who he is, but he instead comes with that kingdom, proclaiming justice, healing those who are battered and hurt, those who are smoldering. He comes with care and mercy as the servant of the Lord, who is fully king, but comes now as the servant of the Lord to serve his Father's will and go to the cross so that he might be properly in authority over them. And so the message that the time, and so the king comes as the servant of the Lord, and he comes not to necessarily heal, but to support his word with healing. He comes to preach, as our text says. In verse 38, it says, "Let us go somewhere else, to the towns nearby, so that I may preach there also." Jesus came to proclaim that message, to proclaim the good news that the kingdom of God is at hand. But the people would not understand. And he's not there to grow his popularity, but he's there to spread that good news. And that healing is to support the word, to support that he is the one with the authority to proclaim this message, that the kingdom of God is at hand. This is against the better judgment of our political parties, and even those who are currently following Jesus, as he brings only these four to continue to follow him. And he goes out and expands his ministry into other towns and cities. And so Jesus' ministry then has expanded in our understanding of his authority in healing the physical diseases. It has expanded from the personal and the private to the many people. It has expanded from the city of Capernaum to the many towns and cities around. But I ask you, has the kingdom of God expanded into your heart? The evidence of Christ's kingdom coming to you is not whether you are healed from diseases. It is not whether you are no longer experiencing pain. But the true fruit of whether the kingdom of God is near to you and your heart is whether you have repented and believed. Jesus' authority is over all these things. He has shown that his message is true, his message that the kingdom of God is at hand. The time is fulfilled. What he has accomplished on the cross is done. The forgiveness of sins is for you and for me. You must repent and believe. You must submit to his command. So whether we are free from all pain or full of pain, this does not determine whether we are in this kingdom of salvation. But salvation comes by hearing the message of Jesus and responding in repentance and faith. But if we have done this, then you know, at the right hand, the King will bring the kingdom in its fullness. And as Revelation tells us, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there will no longer be any death. There will no longer be any mourning or crying or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." And he said, "Write these words. Write, for these words are faithful and true." Amen. Let us pray. Gracious God, mighty Father, we thank you that you have come in love and care and shown that you have delivered us from all our sins, from all disease. These things are accomplished, yet not come to us in its fullness. And so, Lord, help us to live lives that reflect that we are children of your kingdom. Send your Spirit upon us that we might continually, day after day, repent and believe. That we too may be so impacted by this wonderful message that, as we will now sing, that we would go out and labor on. That we would go on and continue to show that great mercy and love that you have given to us in your deliverance. That we would go out and proclaim this wonderful message from you. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.